Let's head out and talk with Sarah Krebs, who's with the Michigan State Police as a police detective and trooper. Sarah, how are you?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Interesting day in Grand Rapids as the Michigan, Missing in Michigan Day, which will really hopefully help Grand Rapids solve some missing person cases. Tell us about this.
Well, we started with last year's event in Detroit, and it came as an idea for law enforcement to do kind of a better job with our accounting of our missing people in the state. And what we found is a lot of our cases are either unreported or they don't have all of the technologies that we use today to be able to solve them, like DNA and dental records and online profiles. So we decided that we needed to start a day, a missing persons day, where we could get all the family members in one place and we could celebrate their missing loved ones, remember them, and also be proactive with law enforcement in getting those databases backfilled.
Sarah, how many unsolved missing person cases are there in Michigan? Do we know?
Right now, we have just over 3,000 active cases in our state.
And those are currently being worked on?
Yeah, well, those are the ones that are at least reported and that we have active in our database. Not to say that every one of those is being actively worked. A lot of them are inactive and old and are just waiting for the person to be found, unfortunately.
So the event will be held from 2 to 7 p.m. on Saturday at the ballroom at DeVos Place in Grand Rapids. The event is free to the public. Guests are asked to wear yellow to promote the cause. What will happen during this time?
Well, what's going to happen is we invite family members, friends, community members, anybody that a missing person has touched their lives to come and take part in our event. We have a live stage with some speakers, some musical guests. We actually have a time during the day where we ask family members to come up on stage and tell their side of the story. And we also have a completely separate area where we bring the family members in and we, if they would like to donate their DNA to our database, we'll take their DNA. We will re-interview them if they have new information on their case. We'll put their profiles of their missing person online, and we just make sure that all of our case notes are up to date on their case. So it's really the best thing that a family member could do for their missing person's case.
Sarah, what do these family members tell you when you talk to them?
You know, a lot of them, they'll tell us about their struggle. They'll tell us about how, you know, they haven't even gotten a call back maybe in a decade on their missing persons case. A lot of our cases are old cold cases that come into us. And it's really a chance for us, you know, to reach out to them and let them know that we never stop looking and that we still care about their missing person and that we'll do everything that we can to bring them home.
How often do you receive information about some of these cases, which it turns out to be good information?
You know, well, with last year's event, we helped 42 families that day at Ford Field. And of those cases, we actually found four of the cases that came in. We found them alive and were able to reunite them with their families. So it's not the number that probably everybody's looking for, but there is hope in the matter.
Like some of those cases, I know you can't tell us the names, but give us some instances where you found the person, what kind of shape they were in. Was it by choice they were where they were?
Not all of them. I can tell you a couple of them we did find incarcerated, but we were able to reunite them, you know, with their family, let them know where they were. One of them we actually found, we found this person using social media, found them on one of the sites and actually made contact with them and found that, they were just voluntarily missing. They, you know, they wanted to kind of check out on their family. And, you know, that happens, and that's one of the reasons it's really hard for law enforcement to investigate those types of cases, because it's not illegal to go missing in most cases. That was just one of those types of cases.
Oh. So there's some cases where it is illegal. I would imagine if you were on probation or something like that. What are the other cases where it's illegal to go missing?
If you're a juvenile, it is mandated by legislature that you are entered into our indexes as a missing person. So anybody under the age of 18. And actually, there's a new law that was passed called Suzanne's Law. That actually makes it makes law enforcement enter a person between the age of 18 and 21, considering the circumstances, to be entered into our index as a missing person. But also, you know, people that are missing involuntarily by abduction, of course, that's going to be considered illegal. But there's different ways that people go missing. You know, there's juvenile runaways. There are catastrophe victims, people that have been the victim of some sort of an accident and that their body has not been recovered. So we have a lot of different ways that people do go missing. But the major one is that you are allowed to go missing voluntarily because there is no legislation on that.
All right. Missing in Michigan Day, it's in Grand Rapids, 2 to 7 p.m. on Saturday at the Ballroom A at the Voss Place. If people want more information, where do they go?
They can go to our website at missinginmichigan.com.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.